failure is okay. It's going to happen along the way, but like how you get over it is what I'm super passionate about.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am absolutely elated. As you guys know, I am in Helsinki, Finland, getting to experience Slush, one of the most epic tech conferences of all times. They have stages that light on fire, and I'm not even exaggerating, literally, like they have a whole like pyrotechnics thing going on. They have body painting, they have music presenters, they have business innovators. Like it feels like all of like Silicon Valley got on a plane to come to Helsinki in the middle of the winter to experience this tech conference. And I couldn't understand like why everybody is so amped on Slush. And it's because they're really promoting global change. And the way their organization is run is like unlike anything I've ever seen before. First of all, it's a nonprofit. And in order to get into it further, I am so grateful and honored to have Marianne, who's the current CEO of Slush, discuss her role and involvement in Slush and what Slush means to her and just to carry it away. So Marianne, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us all about this magic.
Sure. And wow. Oh, I'm super happy to be here today. I'm Marianne Mikkola. I'm the CEO of Slush. I started running the show this year. Previously, well, I got involved in 2012 as a volunteer. So as you said, it's a nonprofit and it's based on volunteering. We have 2,300 volunteers. From 60 countries, actually, here today.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's fairly crazy.
Like, maybe, like, thousands of volunteers. And you guys, not volunteers, like half-assed, like, not really trying to do anything. Volunteers so committed and passionate to delivering excellence. It's wild.
Yeah, it's all about creating them the experience, and making them feel that they're part of something bigger. Like, they're part of making a change, and I think that that's the core part of like making people so enthusiastic about it. And of course the other part is learning. It's for many people the first leadership experience leading a volunteer team, so that gets people also super excited.
So tell me about it, because that's what's so unique, that Slush is a nonprofit, and I feel it's like this really cool mentorship business school. Like, it's like a secret underground mentorship business school. Like, it's the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity if you get in. Like, you've had multiple roles at Slush. You've been CFO, and now you're CEO. And before that, you were just a volunteer, like, on the site, like everybody else, right?
Yeah.
And so what is that? How do you guys organize Slush on the back end?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So basically, we have a 25-people team organizing Slush throughout the year. So okay. It's a full-time job for me, okay. For example, even though it's like everyone's pretty much a student or a fresh graduate in the team. And then we start slowly, gradually building up the team towards the end of the year when the event is held. I think we have roughly 25 people in the core team in the beginning, then 45, 50 in the fall. And on top of those, there are the 2,300 volunteers. And what makes the experience of leadership for people so exciting is that they get to be part of also the recruiting.
Right.
So basically, the big crowd of team leaders and team leader at Slush means basically you're responsible, for example, the media area where we're at now. And once you're selected to do that, you recruit your group leaders, and then the group leaders recruit their team members.
So they even get to learn how to become managers.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah, and that's I think that's the part that makes the excitement and and actually goes beyond the excitement, because you learn and actually, like, you know, you feel ownership of the people who are in your team.
I wrote an article for Tech Zulu in the last 24 hours about Slush, and I called it the most elite mentorship program because it's like really like the volunteers are kind of like an apprentice role with a built-in mentorship society, and then they keep like going through the system and passing the torch so the whole city can benefit from this wild business education.
Yeah, it's really about giving back to the community for us and for the people. It's not only just actually students who are with us. I feel that it's the entire like Nordic tech region who's kind of, we're all in this together, right, type of a mentality. So there's a bunch of like serial entrepreneurs, investors who are helping us out with their networks and contacts. But also, as you said, like even they are as our mentors, sharing experiences and also just really even blunt advice sometimes what they think we should do.
Totally.
Yeah. And for us, I think it's like the attitude that we need to have always is that we're super eager to learn, and we know that when we get feedback, it's for the better of us. So like we're fairly fast moving forward.
I mean, they've had speakers like Chris Sacca, who's one of my favorite investors of all time. It's on Shark Tank. He spoke both in the speaker studio and on the main stage. And I mean, they have everybody here. Adeo Ressi from Founder Institute. Like, it's Dinah. Even Robert Scoble is here somewhere. I haven't seen him yet, but I saw him on the Finnair plane. So it's been really wild. One thing that has impressed me, and I really want to get into your background on how you got to be where you are today, but it's really well organized. Like, they even have a customer experience chat team on the website. So while people watch the live stream, or if they're at the event, if they have any question, they can get. I've never seen a live chat for a conference. Actually, it's my first time. So yeah, it's wild. I mean, so well done. So how? I mean, that's a lot of responsibility to be the CEO of this huge organization. You were never a CEO before, correct?
Correct.
So first time CEO. And how recently did you graduate from school?
I haven't graduated, actually.
So you're still in school.
Yeah, I have a bachelor degree, but since in Finland, we have it so that when you go to university, you have like the 5 years to get master's,
right,
basically. And I have my bachelor's, but my master's is fairly badly still on the way.
So I mean, you're not even through school yet, and you're getting this wild life experience as a CEO. How did this all start? When did you first become passionate about the world of tech?
So when I got involved in 2012 as a regular volunteer, that was through my friend, as usual, you know, usual. And that year I was working with the events help team, which basically means that we're going to go extinguish fires wherever there's a problem. And I got excited about the people, mostly. Like, they didn't originally come from like entrepreneurship or technology. It was just about the people and like the atmosphere and the attitude that I felt all around me. And then when I was asked the year later to come in as the CFO with a great background of being the treasurer for my student association, I of course said yes. I'm like, oh, what a great learning experience. So for me, it was from the very beginning the other people and learning all the time new things, and then along the way the like interest in the world of entrepreneurship and technology came. And I think that is also a lot about just the other people who are in this world of tech and entrepreneurship, and who actually, I feel that I'm around people who want to make the world a better place.
Total. I mean, that's totally what I'm picking up from this event as well. Being a first-time CEO, you must encounter times where you're like, I don't know how I'm going to handle that. How do you overcome obstacles?
That's a super good question. I was really lucky in a way that the former CEO, Reku, actually stayed in our team for like 6 months, helping out in all kinds of things. But he gave me a lot of room, but he was still there. So like there was a lot of, from practical to really difficult questions, that it was super easy for me to answer. So like, you know, and also Miki, who was like the CEO before Reku, is really close. So there's always someone to ask help from, which is, I think that's one of the greatest benefits that I've had. And for the next part, you just need to accept mistakes and failures along the way. There something goes wrong almost every day, and then you're just gonna be like, get over it.
Yeah. You just kind of like, life goes on. Let me find the next solution.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who's a woman in tech that you really look up to?
Oh, wow. That's a super good question. I've been following with a great interest the development around Theranos. It's really interesting.
Who is it?
Theranos and Holmes, Elizabeth.
Can you spell it for me?
Theranos. So Theranos. The company that was supposed to revolutionize, blood tests that you could do at home. And then there was this huge scandal. It was apparently a scam. But what I'm interested about is that how she'll, or if she'll, like, come out from that. So it was like more than $1 billion that her company was, valued at. And then it all crashed down. And now what's going to happen next is I'm not like, failure's okay. It's going to happen along the way. But like, how you get over it is what I'm super passionate about, like learning from others.
I love that. So you find her inspiring in the sense that you want to learn from her to see how she overcomes obstacles.
Yeah, exactly. Because like, being successful is like about many things. But looking from the outside, it's really hard to learn from people who are successful by just following them, unless you get to a really, like intimate one-on-one discussion. But like seeing how people overcome obstacles, that's super interesting.
What have you learned about yourself in achieving your dreams?
Well, what I know about myself so far is that, well, I'm an executor person, really. I like doing things. I'm not that good at, being the person who draws the big picture and, has a 100-year vision of where to go. So I really know that over here and like always in the future, I need to gather more creative and, people who are more about like thinkers and ideators around me, to have enough diversity and, ideas around. So I'm like a lot more analytical and like, that's just the type of personality I am. And it's been a huge learning experience this year because as CEO, you need to like, there's this aspect of being the CEO that you really need to be the person who looks the future and, sets the way.
Totally. What has been your favorite thing about being a CEO that you didn't expect when you came into the role?
It's probably the realization of how, I don't know if it's best, but it was the thing that I didn't expect, is that how much more energy leading people or focusing on people takes than, focusing on executing things. So since I was doing, I was responsible for sales. I did a lot of like running a lot of meetings and running a lot of emails, and I could do that for like a lot, as much of it as I wanted. But then like starting focus more on the people and the team, it was like after 8 hours I was totally done. I was just super tired, and that was a really big like realization for me that how differently that like how your body responds to that.
Do you have any tips on how to effectively manage people?
Oh, that's a super, super
like maybe like somewhere between 2 and 5 tips. Yeah. Ideally 5 if you have them.
So firstly, like just super clear sharing of responsibilities. Who doesn't what? Once if they're not clear, people are not satisfied because they don't like, things are overlapping, you don't really know where you stand in the organization. The second, for me at least, is Slush is based on volunteering and people come here to learn, is like give people room. And failures are not things that you really claim on anyone. They're things that anyways happened already and then you need to like figure out to move forward. So we're not like, and no one is punished for making a mistake. I think that's super important.
That's really important. That's interesting. I think it's hard for someone in the leadership position to sometimes let go of that control, relinquish control, to let the mistake happen.
Yeah, and that's also something that you have to realize as CEO at some point, you can't handle everything. You will be like, you'll be hospitalized if you try to control everything. So you need to accept that you're not aware of everything what's happening in your organization. And you just need to trust the people that they do the right thing. And then discuss with them enough that you know what's like in a level, like on a general level happening.
I love it. That was really helpful. How can people connect with you further?
So you can find me on all of the social media, basically from Twitter to LinkedIn, and also my contact info is on the Slush website, at slush.org.
What is your contact info?
So just Marianne at slush.org. On Twitter, I'm just M Vikula, so my M and my last name. You can find me on LinkedIn, which is my name.
And just in case, can you spell Vikula for us?
Yeah, it's V-I-K-K-U-L-A.
Perfect. And before we wrap it up, is there anything that you would recommend to someone looking to dive into the world of tech or business and they're super new? What would be the first step you would tell them to take?
That's actually a really great question, since I got so immersed in doing this. Well, actually, honestly, because I'm super biased, but volunteering at one of these events, I bet, wherever you're listening, there is somewhere fairly close by some sort of a tech event. So volunteering in an event to kind of see what kind of people are there, or even just then visiting, apply, as a student, apply a conference pass and see what the world is about. And of course, then there's a bunch of great media and podcasts that can give you deep dives.
Do you have a favorite podcast?
Or a video series? I listen to...
By the way, Slush has a podcast, I just learned.
We're making a bunch of podcasts now on stage. We haven't done that much before, but now we're trying that out. We haven't been really focused on that.
How can people watch the videos of Slush or the audio files at post the event?
Yeah, so we've live streamed everything, and everything is also recorded and will be on our YouTube channel. You just find it at Slush HQ, the handle in YouTube, and you can find all the material from actually I think we've live streamed for 5 years, so there's hours and hours
there's a
of
lot.
Material from the stages. But for the podcasts, I follow so many. I listen to the Andreessen Horowitz one quite a lot. And I've also listened to Stanford's The Entrepreneurial Leadership League. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for spending your time with the Women in Tech podcast. This has been awesome. If you guys want to connect further with other incredible women in tech, go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Also, we're on Twitter at Women in Tech Show. This is Esprit Devora. You guys are amazing. I'm so grateful to be at Slush, and I will see you guys in the next one.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.